I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thank you, ESPN and gambling shows. We'll take it the rest of the way here, live and local. I am Rick Tittle. Good morning, rise and shine. Have a McGriddle with Tittle, whatever you're eating for breakfast. Are you hungover? Are you already done your gym workout? Whatever it matters, it is time to talk NFL, and it's especially time to talk about your silver and black, as we have here. I call it the pre-pregame show. I'll be on from 9 until 11 o'clock. At that point, we'll throw it over to the Raiders opening drive with John Lund and Bill Romanowski. They are, as always with road games here, they are live at the Meritage in Napa. And so if you want to check that out live, go there. It's a lot of fun. And we want to hear from you. All football fans, remember this pre-pregame show isn't all Raiders. We're going to talk a little Niners as well with Steve Palazzolo in about a half hour. They are at Cleveland. And we're going to bring in Cecil Lammy. He's the NFL insider for ESPN Denver. And we're going to talk about the perspective that he's getting in the Mile High City for this matchup as well. That'll be at 10:30. But I'm all by myself. I'm so lonely. So come keep me company. Questions, comments, or concerns, agree, disagree, queries, whatever's on your mind on this NFL Week 14. It's all football. Yes, the Warriors lost last night, and I was sad. But this is all football today. 888-957-9570. Fire Steve Kerr. Just kidding. 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. Get in and get heard. So whenever the Raiders are playing Denver, and I've always been honest that I'm an Oakland guy, and you know, I've been working in this market since 89. When I was growing up, there was no San Francisco-Oakland rivalry like you have now out of social media, that people think that the Giants and the A's are in the same division and the same league, or people think the Niners and the Raiders are rivals when they're not. So I've always had a pretty good perspective in covering all the teams in this area. And but when you look at the Raiders and you think about names that make you throw up, whenever I hear Denver, me personally, it conjures me to almost throw up a little bit in my mouth, because my perspective, the way I learned the United States, because I was raised by wolves and home educated by skunks, I learned about the United States through watching the NFL as a Raider fan in the 70s. So to me, Denver was this place where they had this jackass coach, Red Miller, with this like bozo hair and big slobby boiler hanging over. And they had these ridiculous donkey uniforms. And it just, to me, it spread like wildfire. So I hated the Colorado Buffaloes. I hated, you know, the Nuggets, whoever. When the Nordiques became the Lanch, I hated them. When the Rockies expanded, there's just something about Denver, that word, that I just hate. Okay, I hate it personally. But on the other hand, when you look at the matchup today, as the Raiders are hanging by a thread for playoff hopes, and if you do think the Raiders are in with a shout, they're not, but we do have an abacus, and we can't figure out a way for it to happen, but the Raiders need to win out. Now, the Broncos, they're on the inside track now for home field advantage in the AFC. All they have to do, I mean, it's in their own control. They say their own destiny. They control their own destiny. So Denver moved into the second place in the AFC last week when they beat San Diego, and New England lost their second in a row. And if you want to go ahead and look at the head-to-head between the Donkeys and the Pats, Denver holds that thanks to their 30-24 overtime win back around Thanksgiving time. It was on November 29th. Denver's also tied with Cincinnati at 10-2, and they're going to face the Bengals after Christmas. So the Broncos right now are going to win the AFC West yet again if they win a ninth consecutive game, if they beat the Raiders and Kansas City loses or ties against San Diego. They could also win the division with a tie and a Chiefs loss. We always throw in ties when we talk about tiebreakers and clinching and other such things, but ties do happen more than you think. But the name of the game today is, we know the Raiders, what they like to do best on offense is pass the ball. And the Raiders are a top 10 team when it comes to passing the ball. When it comes to rushing, not so great. And you look at Wade Phillips' defense in Denver, they are first against the pass. First. And against the rush, not too shabby either. They are fifth. So this is why a month ago when Manning went down and you put in Osweiler, if you're a Bronco fan, you're not completely panicked about that because you know how good the defense is. You might remember a few years ago, the Hugh Jackson year, all the Raiders needed to do was win that last game at home against San Diego. They lost to go 8-8. The Donkeys were also 8-8, but they won the division with Tim Tebow at quarterback. And then they won a playoff game against the defending champs, the Steelers, the next week. Defense wins championship. Well, defense can definitely get you through the first round of the playoffs. But an interesting statistic, if you were listening to the show before this one, the 866 Free, that show, which is a great show, though. Please give them your custom. Is that the Broncos have only allowed one touchdown to a wide receiver all year. They are sort of like the Alex Smith defense. One touchdown to a wide receiver. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy. There's no doubt about it. And then you look at Von Miller. Von Miller, by the way, is the third fastest man in the history of the NFL to 50 sacks. You look at the late Reggie White, Minister of Defense, the late, great Derek Thomas. And those guys always have their hands in the dirt. I mean, the guy is a freak. At the backer position, he can cover, he can get into the flat, and he can flat out sack you as well. They're going to be bringing the heat. And Raider fans recall very vividly that game in October at the Coliseum where it was the whole game, you knew it was going to turn on one play. Denver won that game 16-10. Remember, three turnovers, block field goal, and remember the Chris Harris had that pick six, 74-yarder, and that was in the fourth quarter, and that turned it around. And that was the game where Charles Woodson heroically intercepted Peyton Manning twice with some amazing INTs, but the Raiders didn't get points out of either of those turnovers. And that was at home. So if you want to look for good harbingers for today as a Raider fan, you can think, hey, we played the Broncos very tough in Oakland. So the Raiders aren't going to get stomped, right? Well, remember, after that Denver loss, that's when the Raiders won back-to-back games. They go to 4-3, and then we start thinking, oh my gosh, this Jack Del Rio revolution is happening a little bit quicker than some of us may have thought. I picked the Raiders at the beginning of the season to win six games. I looked at the schedule, and I thought if they could double their win total from three. Now, no one wants to hear that. I didn't even want to say it. But just being realistic, I picked them to win four last year, and I overshot that by one, and I'm going for six this year. Now, I hope I'm wrong and they run the table. And by the way, that is the only way the Raiders have any shot at the playoffs, is if they run the table now that they have their seventh loss. And also, another thing that's going to suck today if the Raiders lose, which would mean that there will be no winning seasons since I walked out of Super Bowl 37 in San Diego in 2002. Will continue that run. And that's why, right now, you don't want to be praising the GM. Oh, the GM's in his fourth year right now. And, yeah, we all kind of give him a free pass that first year, the salary cap hell, Seymour, Tommy Kelly, Stanford route, no first-round pick, no second-round pick. We get it. But he picked the wrong guy as head coach. He picked the wrong quarterbacks, what, three times? Flynn, Schaub, drafting Tyler Wilson, Terrell Pryor, who, by the way, is going to be playing against the Niners today as a wide receiver for the Browns. Yes, he will. But it's not time to praise yet. But what I would like to see, and anyone who wants the Raiders to lose out here, you must be Methuselah, because if you want your team to lose, you must be someone who's going to live forever. Because if I'm going to invest over 3 hours in watching my team, I want them to win that game. But I want to hear what you have to say about this matchup with the Donkeys and the Raiders. Rick, they're called the Broncos. I know, it's hard for me. 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Bright and early Raider pre-game show. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on 95.7 The Game.
Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you so much, and welcome back to 95.7 The Game. I'm Rick Tittle with you, talking a little NFL Week 14. Live coverage of Oakland Raiders football. Of course, kickoff, right around 1:05. I'll take you up till 11 o'clock, and then we'll go to the Ameritage in Napa. We'll have the opening drive live show, as we do with all the road games. London Romo will get you up to speed with everything. They'll go over the Raiders game with a fine-tooth comb. But the line's open now. All questions, all 32 teams. If you'd like to get in, football fans out there, we're going to talk about the Niners at Browns in the next segment. We'll speak with Steve Palazzolo. And he is with Pro Football Focus, and also he writes for ESPN.com. But getting back to the matchup between the Raiders and the Broncos, and am I picking the Raiders to lose? Yes, I'm picking the Raiders to lose. Do I want them to lose? No. Sometimes people get confused by that. I bet you're sad the Raiders won. What? You picked them to lose. No, if you ask me who's going to win, who's going to lose. Listen, I was just saying, the number one defense for the Donkeys, you look at, they're fighting for something, home field advantage. And think about this as well. The last three home games up there in Mile High, Invesco, Sports Authority, whatever they're calling it these days, the last three times the Raiders have gone to Denver, Denver has outscored them a combined 121-41. So I know I went to Salesian High, but let me do the math. That's 80 points. 80 points. Now, you could say, well, that's got nothing to do with this team. Well, a little bit. There is also, if you think about Derek Carr, last year when he went there, the Raiders got clubbed 47-14. Carr, one TD, one pick in that game. And, you know, we always look at the quarterback. He's a rookie on the road in a hostile place. I'm not holding that game against him. It would be dumb to do that. But the Raiders, as they match up today with the Broncos, the thing I think that I'm most interested in is the hatred that Jack Del Rio is getting from the fan base. Now, I didn't know about this. I thought Jack Del Rio was sort of held in somewhat high esteem for what he was able to do with the defense. But talking to some of the writers, and I'll bring this up with Cecil Lammy, who covers the Broncos for ESPN in Denver at 10:30. According to a lot of the people that I've talked to, and even yesterday on this show, Troy Rank, who writes for the Denver Post, that the fans blame Del Rio for the playoff loss last year when Del Rio was Denver's defensive coordinator. And they said that the way he schemed it, the coverages, oh my gosh. Now, you would think, what about John Fox? As he was run out of town as well, doesn't John Fox get any of the blame there? Perhaps, I guess. But Del Rio is going to get relentlessly booed. But to me, that's good. You know, I don't like fraternizing with the enemy, and now it's different. You know, everybody's all in the same union, and they've got the same agents, and what do they care? You know, a lot. I think it was hilarious when Cooper Carlisle signed with the Raiders. He was on Behind the Shield, the TV show with Greg Papa, and he was wearing an orange T-shirt. He had just come from Denver. He's wearing an orange T-shirt, and Greg asked him, hey, why'd you sign with the Raiders? Was it the history, the mystique, the playing time? And he said, what? Oh, the Raiders offered me the most money. Oh, all right. That's the way it is now. Gone are the days where Jackie Robinson would rather retire than play for the Giants when he got traded. You know, I actually like those days. I mean, when you think about the 89 World Series and the Giants wanted to fete Joe DiMaggio, and they're thinking about calling the stadium here Joe DiMaggio Stadium, And I love when Joe DiMaggio said in 89, I'm not rooting for the Giants. I hate the National League. I'm rooting for the Oakland A's. You know, I was a coach there. I would never root for the National League. And then the Giants simply said, okay, Joe DiMaggio, we'll have nothing to do with you ever again. And he's like, good. I hope you don't. I wish you would, girl. That's not what I had said. So, all right. Injury reports as we look at it right now. Nate Allen did not practice on Friday. He is out today with a knee injury. Neron Ball is also out as well, and he looks like he's out for the season. Shelby Harris on the defensive line, he had limited practice on Friday. He's questionable right now. But the guy that we're all wondering about is the center, Rodney Hudson. Rodney Hudson is probable. You know, I have found over the years, and you probably have too, when someone is listed as questionable, he's going to play. So probable means you're going to play, unless something gets tweaked. Now, I know Tony Bergstrom, who's not a natural center. Remember, he was Reggie's first ever pick in that first year when they had the third round pick as their first pick in the draft. He's filled in okay. But for people who think that Rodney Hudson is going to be a roadmap to the running game getting off the schneid and giving also Derek Carr more time, yes, he's better than Tony Bergstrom. There's no doubt about that. But Rodney Hudson was also there for plenty of games this year where Derek Carr hands off the ball and there's a defensive player standing in the backfield already. So, yes, he's good, but he's not going to save the team. This isn't like that Super Bowl I mentioned when I was at where Barrett Robbins is out and Adam True comes in. Oh, the Raiders missed their center. That's why Rich Gannon threw five interceptions. No, that's probably not why. Khalil Mack, remember, he had a little bit of a ding in his knee. He's also a probable. And Amari Cooper was very limited at practice on Friday, and that's because they wanted to make sure that he was ready to go today. So Amari Cooper is also listed as probable for this game. On the text line, by the way, you can participate, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. From the 707, this is Splashy in Fairfield. Is that your Christian name? Rick, the Raiders will probably lose today. My main concern is to address the stadium moving issues before I invest all my emotions in this team. Last time was a bitter pill to swallow. I appreciate the text. When we're doing a pregame show, I'm not going to get into the whole thing about, you know, what's going on with Libby, what's going on with Mark Davis, Dean Spanos, Carmen Policy, Disney Boy, Iger, Goodell. That's all out of our hands. On game day, it's not worth talking about. But the people who say, hey, before I invest my emotions in the team, I want to make sure they're going to be here. I understand that. But also look at it this way. I'm not a life coach, even though I play one on the radio. Nothing is guaranteed on this planet. You put emotions into your loved one. You know, you meet someone, you fall in love with them. Who knows if they're going to turn into be like a crack-dealing bank robber? You don't know. A meteor could hit the earth. You really want assurances before you go to the game that they'll be here forever? Well, how long are you going to live? You're going to live to be 120? So I would just say, look, while we're here, let's have fun. Let's follow the teams. Let's root for them. But if you need a guarantee before you invest your emotions in them, I understand that, and you're you. I'm not trying to talk you into not doing that, but I've never understood that line of thinking. Or I'm not going to give that owner my money. Who cares who the owner is? I mean, really, if you love the team, and believe me, as an Oakland guy, we've had some just awful, awful owners in Oakland when you look at the teams. Some really, really bad ones. Just penny pinchers. No interest in winning. Absentee ownership. Have I ever said, I don't like that owner. Or I don't like that GM. Or I don't like that head coach, manager. Whatever. These guys all come and go. Most of them aren't even from the Bay. They come in, they buy a team, they brag about it at their golf clubs, and they, you know, they're contraband Cuban cigars, and they pinch a waitress's butt, and they brag about how they're owners and you're not, and then they leave. The managers leave, and believe it or not, the GMs, who aren't from here either, then they leave. So you're stuck there with your team. Do you want to say, well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and suss out that GM. Is he really worth me investing? Well, you sound like the person who gets, like, at the end of a meal at a restaurant, you get the bill, and you start pouring over it with a pen. Can I borrow a pen, miss? Okay, let's see. You had calamari as an appetizer. Carry the one. Okay, yeah, it's good. Life's a little bit too short for that, I would think. All right, also on the text line from the 510. Rick, is Derek Carr the savior? LOL. Listen, Derek Carr, when you go around the league, this is the way I look at it. No, Derek Carr is not the savior. But when you go around the league and you look at the, let's use big words like dearth or paucity, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks on this planet. To me, it's like catchers who can hit. How many catchers can hit major league pitching? Seriously, can hit. Maybe about eight on the face of the earth. They can play defense well and hit maybe 8 to 10 catchers on the face of the earth. I kind of look at that as quarterbacks as well. And that's why it's so hard to prognosticate what a guy who looks fantastic in college and he goes to the pros and he's just absolutely horrible. it's so hard to figure out who can play quarterback at that level and then the next level. So, I mean, you look at it, Tyler Wilson. He was in the SEC. The Raiders drafted him in the fourth round. And he was the highest guy, the highest drafted player cut in the draft. And I remember talking to Tyler Wilson at camp, and he said something that I thought was weird when I said, hey, Tyler, I always hear that, you know, when you go to the pros that everything is so much faster. And he goes, no, it's the same speed. I went, what? He goes, this is the same exact speed as the SEC. It's just that the players are better now. And then he got cut, which I thought was a little bit interesting. But if you go around the league and you look at guys like Hoyer, you look at guys out there like, I mean, I could name you 20 guys that you'd say, well, who would you rather have, Derek Carr or that guy? Well, of course you'd rather have Derek Carr. So, as hard as it is, as nearly as impossible it is to have a quarterback who at least will win you games and give you hope, then yes, Derek Carr is the guy. And hopefully he'll get better. And hopefully he learns the lesson on that just awful fourth quarter that he had. Probably the worst quarter that he's had since he was in high school. Maybe he's never even had a quarter that bad. With the Raiders up and moving, tried to do too much. Two more interceptions. The third one, Crabtree falls down. You would hope at this point that he would say, okay, from now on, when we have the lead and we're at home, I need to manage this game more than going out there and try to make a highlight out of trying to squeeze a ball into an impossible situation, threading the needle, that kind of thing. So, listen, I like Derek Carr. I'm glad the Raiders have him because I can tell you, odds are, and for most teams, it gets a lot worse than that. So, no, he's not Tom Brady. Not yet. Maybe he will be someday. Probably not. But he's a whole lot better than what 20 other teams have in the NFL right now. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back to the other side. We'll check out what's going on with the Niners from Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on 95.7 The Game.
Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
All right, very nice. Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle with you. Getting ready for live coverage of Oakland Raider football right here on 95.7 The Game. Kickoff at 1 o'clock, and that'll be live from Denver as the Raiders travel to play the Broncos. Remember, coming up at 11 o'clock, the Raiders opening drive with London Romo live at the Meritage in Napa. Next segment, phone lines open back up at 888-957-9570. You can always shoot me a text, too, at 95795. It's great to welcome back now Steve Palazzolo. He's a senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. He contributes to ESPN. .com as well. And taking a look at that Niner game now, Steve, it's interesting that the first thing that popped into my head were the rumors a couple years ago that the Niners were trying to trade Jim Harbaugh to the Browns before that 8-8 season, and we kind of laughed it off. But now looking at what happened, I guess maybe those rumors perhaps were true.
Yeah, maybe they should have tried to get something in return for Harbaugh and, you know, built up with some draft picks or something. It is an interesting storyline in a game that I don't think is getting, it doesn't have a lot of publicity, I think, around the league today.
Well, a lot of people, of course, are going to be looking at Manziel as his rise and fall and now rise again. As he was told a few weeks ago, hey, it's yours the rest of the way and no, you're third string. Okay, now you're starting again. But I liked what the coordinator, DeFilippo, said, and we know him out here when he was a quarterback coach in Oakland, but the OC there, Flip, said, listen, if he plays these four games, I know he's 1-2 this year, two losses last year. He goes, those nine games are going to be enough for me to suss out whether he can be the quarterback here of the future or not. I know a lot of people have said, nine games, are you kidding me? That's not enough. But when you look at all the off-field problems he's caused, maybe nine games is enough to figure out whether he can do this or not. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, given the off-field stuff, they'd better have a lot of positives in those nine games to look at and say, okay, he's going to be our guy. The one positive to point to is his last game, week 10 against Pittsburgh. He played pretty well. His best game of his career. They put the ball in his hands quite a bit, passing the ball, and he did all right. I think the big thing with him is his ability to play within structure versus outside of structure. I think we know that he's a pretty good player when he gets out of the pocket and he ad-libs a little bit. I always say he has great vision. He has great vision of the field when he's moving around. He reminds me a little bit of Devin Hester, who as a returner, I think just had that great vision to always find the play. I think Johnny has that. But as I wrote this week, only 10% of NFL plays QBs are actually outside of the pocket making plays. So even if you give Manziel a pass and say, okay, maybe 12% or 15% of his plays will let him ad-lib, that's still 85% of the plays that he needs to learn how to win from the pocket. And he just hasn't shown an ability to do that, to, you know, read progressions and find the open man. So I'm not writing him off completely, but he definitely has to make some big strides these next few weeks to show that he's the future.
When you look at some of the matchups today, and the Browns are well, I think, 31st at stopping the run, but the Niners are like 28th in running it. I know Carlos Hyde, finally, they probably wise to just put him on IR now at this point. The correct decision, just wait till next year. But they can't stop the run, but the Niners can't run it. So is this like putting a humidifier and a dehumidifier in the same room?
Yeah, it's something has to give at this point. You know, the Browns have been really bad up front. And I think one of the things that everybody looked at the Browns coming into the season and they said, okay, the defensive line needs to improve. But they've always, the last few years, they've been a team that just couldn't get over that hump, but they played everybody close. And they've kind of lost a little bit of that this year. Their entire front seven essentially is grading negatively other than John Hughes, particularly against the run. So, I do think it is a game where the Niners can look to the running game and, you know, try to instill that toughness and attitude that I think Tom Sula wants to instill. So if there is a chance, this would be the week, because the Browns have been extremely weak up front.
Rick Tittle with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus and ESPN.com, talking about Niners at Browns today. It's also interesting, you know, the connection with that part of the world in Northeast Ohio, because remember when Jim Harbaugh kept the Niners in Youngstown to Bartolo country. And I know that when it comes to broadcasting numbers, the Niners are second to the Browns in that area. Is it kind of a pseudo home game for them?
Yeah, I didn't realize that the numbers were that close. I mean, you know, the Niners, they have a great national presence, I think, just because, you know, people in their 30s and 40s grew up watching the Niners as a dynasty. And I think a lot of people, you know, I grew up in New England. I had a lot of friends that loved the 49ers because the Patriots were terrible at that time. So I think they have connections around the country because they were just so good in the 80s and 90s. And I think a lot of people have stuck with that.
Now, we talk a lot about what's going on off the field with the 49ers, and of course the Harbaugh and Roman and Fangio, those guys are all gone, all the guys who retired and quit. But then recently, the president of the Niners, not even 2 years into it, Parag Marate, he's going to keep his job being the capologist, but he's gone from football to football now that he's going to be helping the Sacramento Republic. And then Al Guido, great name, he steps in. Does this mean anything for the future of Tom Sula, or are these moves just completely as an aside to what's going on the field?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I focus on the on-field product as much as possible. And when I look at that, I thought that the Niners were going to take a step back in recent years. And I think it just got exasperated by obviously the retirements, and by Harbaugh no longer being around, because I think he really elevated that team. He elevated that roster. So between the fact that they were aging at certain places, and then their best young players, or a lot of their key players, ended up retiring in their prime, I mean, that puts them well behind. And I think whoever is going to be making the decisions and building the team going forward, whoever's involved in that entire mix, it has to happen through the draft, and it has to happen with youth and a sprinkling of free agents. So I think they're just trying to find the right mix right here, because it's clearly a rebuilding situation.
Well, now when you look with the Niners, and when Blaine Gabbert taking over a month ago, 2-2 on the season. If you look at his stats last week, they weren't great. But if you watch the highlights, he looked like a hero against the Bears. But we know that the Niners are almost dead last in passing in this league right now. With Gabbert being at 500, if he can maybe go 500 the rest of the way, or have they already decided, look, whoever we get, we're just going to open camp with either a competition, or we'll say Gabbert is the starter. Has he earned that at this point?
I think Gabbert's earned the right I think he showed the league that he's a competent backup. I don't think he's the future in San Francisco or anywhere else for that matter. He came into the league in 2011 and set the bar so low for himself with just, unfortunately, just a terrible season. He looked so overmatched, and that happens a lot with young QBs. He showed signs of life the next year in 2012, was a little bit better, and then kind of regressed back again in 2013, and this is his first extended opportunity. I think the bar has been set so low for him that any competent QB play, which he's shown at times this year, almost feels like a bonus. But I don't think he's the type of guy that you're going to hit your wagon to going forward. So I do think whether it's through the draft, through free agency, there's going to be one or two more QBs in here in competition, and it's going to be a lot more than just Blaine Gabbert competing for that job.
A couple more questions for Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, ESPN.com. Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game. Looking at Cap now, Colin Kaepernick, and people say, well, maybe Philly. Who knows if Kelly's even going to be there? In your mind right now, as we're talking at this point in December, where do you think Kaepernick ends up next year? Because there are some people said, well, maybe he's back with the Niners. I don't see that happening whatsoever. What happens with Cap at this point, Steve?
Yeah, I keep trying to make excuses for him, you know, because I was one of the people that jumped on his bandwagon early in 2012. I thought he just did such special things, throwing the ball and running the football. And you think, okay, if he could just progress in a couple key areas, he could be great. Just never progressed the way he needed to. I think Philly would be interesting because I think skill set wise, what Kaepernick does is he throws lasers, as we know, and he can throw lasers accurately to the intermediate level. And what the Eagles offense does, other than aside from the whole running aspect of it, what they do is they open up the middle of the field and they run crossing routes nonstop. And it's actually the type of route that I think Kaepernick can hit. And Chip has had Nick Foles, Mark Sanchez, Sam Bradford, and none of those guys can just hit these wide open passes that Chip Kelly's created in that offense. So if he is in Philadelphia or wherever he goes, I'd be interested in that fit. I don't know that it's perfect across the board, but there's a couple key elements to what Chip Kelly does that I think works well with Kaepernick, plus, of course, the running threat, just that ability to pull and hit the edge with special speed. So I'd be interested to see those two guys working together.
One more wayward quarterback to talk to you about is Terrell Pryor. When we heard that he was signing with the Browns, we thought, well, I guess he's getting one more chance. And they said, no, strictly as a wide receiver. And we saw enough in Oakland to know that when he's in the open field, he is like a Kaepernick. He's a fantastic athlete. He's fast. We know what a great star he was at Jeanette High School back in that area of the world. So, yeah, he's fast. Yeah, he is tall. But can he get open? Can he catch passes? Is this just really taking a flyer on a guy because they're desperate, or do you think TP can get it done?
It's a flyer, but it's a worthwhile flyer. With that size and speed combination, why not see if he can take to the position? I mean, even I remember his true freshman year at Ohio State. You know, he wasn't the full-time QB, and they stuck him out wide every now and again, ran some fades to him, and he looked competent enough. So I think it's a worthwhile flyer. I don't know what they're going to get out of him. He's been in and out of camp with them, trying the wide receiver thing, and it hasn't caught on yet, but I definitely worth it given that type of athleticism.
All right, fair enough. And one more question for you, Steve. When you look at Anquan Boldin, and he's 11 catches away from 1,000 in his career, but my favorite pregame stat on this matchup is he is one catch away from 50, and he would become the first player in NFL history to have at least 50 catches in his first 13 seasons. But he doesn't get the kind of love that maybe he would get if he was playing maybe in New York or maybe playing with Tom Brady. Can you just talk about Boldin and what he's been able to do and what he is going to do with his next catch?
Yeah, it's incredible. I actually didn't realize that he had 13 years, that level of consistency. He's just so good as a possession receiver. Ball skills are incredible. He's always had really good hands, you know, very few drop passes, only has two this year. He's gone through full seasons with one or two drops at a time. So if you never drop the ball, chances are you'll rack up some catches. But we saw it on the, you know, in the Super Bowl run that Flacco made, the Ravens made. Flacco's go-to guy was Boldin, and he's just so good at boxing out, going up and getting the football. Obviously he's so tough with the way he's been able to, you know, make these plays over the middle for, you know, all his entire career and stay healthy enough to get 50 catches a year. So, definitely an underrated talent, and even as he gets older, still very efficient because he's just such a good possession type of receiver. Knows how to use his body, knows how to catch the ball.
No doubt about it. That's Steve Palazzolo. He writes for Pro Football Focus, ESPN.com. And follow him on Twitter at PFF underscore Steve. Hey, Steve, thanks for taking some time on the weekend, for coming on the show again, and we look forward to catching up with you again.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Steve Palazzolo. Remember, PFF underscore Steve. Your reactions, your thoughts, 888-957-9570. Yeah, Anquan Boldin, the first in the history of the NFL, 13 straight seasons to begin your career with at least 50. Absolutely amazing. That's if he gets one the rest of the way. I think he'll get at least one. Knock on wood for him. All right, and also we're going to get you more Raider talk as well. 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. Thoughts, predictions, that kind of stuff on the other side. Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game.
Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. You're home for Oakland Raider football, Oakland A's baseball. We talk about all the teams, though. Thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning. I'm Rick Tittle. I'll be with you until 11 o'clock, and then we'll throw it to the Raiders opening drive live at the Meritage Resort in Napa with Johnny Lund and Bill Romanowski, and they'll get everything squared away for what's going on with the Raiders up until kickoff at 1 o'clock as the Raiders visit their longtime AFL, AFC rivals, the Denver Broncos. And your thoughts on that matchup, 888-957-9570, things you're looking for at this point, if you're still holding out hope for playoffs. And as long as the team's mathematically alive, yeah, we can be hopeful. But at 5-7, they're going to have to run the table at this point. I don't think 8-8 is going to get it done. So let's talk about it, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. From the 510, can you believe me and my hubby are diehard Raider fans but have never been to a game? And that's because we work Sundays, but we listen to Greg Papa. Half of our paycheck comes from working on Sundays. Thank you very much for that text. Keep them coming, 95795. The interesting thing for me sometimes is when fans try to gauge who's a bigger fan than the other one. You know, it's like I buy more clothing or I go to more games. I don't judge fans by that. To me, you're a fan as if you really, really care, okay? And it affects you. You don't have to pay through your pocketbook. Some people have to work on Sundays. So it always bugs me, like, I go to more games, so I'm a better fan. Okay, whatever you say. All right, once again, 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Zach in Fairfield. Zach, you're on 95.7 again.
How's it going? I just want to speak upon the game that's coming up today. All I know is that, you know, we did pretty good last time against the Broncos. I'm pretty sure they didn't score a touchdown throughout the whole entire game, and that was with Manning. I just really hope we can kind of just pull this out, and when it's the right time, the coaches just make the right calls, you know. And I just hope we get that W today.
No doubt about it. Thank you for the call. That's Zach in Fairfield. I mean, you think about times that the Raiders have gone to Denver and it's looked bleak. It wasn't that long ago when Hugh Jackson and the Raiders, they went there and just, what did they score, 50? I remember that Monday night game where Deardorff, the Broncos were up 28-0, and Dan Deardorff went, this one's ugly. Put the kids to bed. This one's over. That guy was so senile. And the Raiders came back and won that game. You might remember a lot of interesting games there in the snow. So, yeah, you look at the Broncos' defense, and it's number one against the pass. And as I mentioned, the Raiders in their last three games there have been outscored by 80 points, 121-41. So it could happen. But if you're asking me for a final score, I'm going to go Denver 40, Oakland 17. I think this is going to be a blowout for the Donkeys. Ouch. Leo in the Yune. What's up, Leo?
Hey, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I'm basically a Raider fan, you know, obviously die hard here in the Bay Area, go to games, season ticket holder. This game I like. I don't know who the quarterback is. I've got some footage on him for the past three, four games, and he's been doing well. And my prediction is that he's going to have a bad game. You know, he's due for a bad game. The Raiders can give him a hard time. Our defense is also pretty good. And our play calling is set up for that slow pace, run the ball, dink and dunk pass. I call it a close one, similar to what we saw before. And since I'm a Raider fan, I kind of can't get over the fact that they'll lose. So I'm going Raiders take it, maybe 21, 14, 16, somewhere around there.
Well, thank you for the call, Leo. And we've seen this in the last 13 years with the Raiders being pathetic every year in Oakland. We have seen, and it's happened pretty much at least once, usually more than once, all year in a season. A team will come into Oakland that should beat the Raiders easily, and they lose. Because as much as you think about, hey, we can't take anybody for granted, I'm telling you right now, the Broncos think that this is going to be a walk in the park. They won't say it. They won't act like it. No one will admit it. But subconsciously, they think this is probably somewhat of a week off for them. They really do. They're like, okay, whew, we'll play the Raiders at home. There's a win. Okay, and what about after that? You can't help but look past a team that's going to limp into your stadium at 5-7 when you're playing for home field advantage. But see, that's the thing. If the Broncos had already wrapped that up, I would give the Raiders more of a chance for being a little bit sneaky and getting in there and getting a victory today. But hey, man, I hope Carr goes nuts. I hope, you know, he's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder for what happened last quarter that he played in. 3 picks in the fourth. But Carr is still right now at 26 touchdown passes. He's on pace to break Daryl LaMonica's franchise record for touchdown passes in a season. That was an AFL record. That was 39 back in 1969, the year before the merger. And if you look at the all-time NFL record for the Raiders with touchdown passes, that was Jeff George back in 1997. Remember Jeff George, Ricky Dudley? Jeff George led the AFC in passing in 1997, and he didn't go to the Pro Bowl because every other player hated him. He would ask June Jones. He would rub people the wrong way sometimes. But man, oh man, that guy could sling it. But you talk about also a product of the combine. No one cared about Jeff George and his multiple colleges. And then he goes to the combine and he's throwing 60-yard passes on a dime. And then everyone fell all over each other. Oh my gosh, who is this guy? Let me give you the next 10 first-round picks. We have to get this guy, Jeff George. So that's something as we, you know, nitpick. A lot of people were really down on Carr. Look, no one was more down on himself than Carr. He's still young, and he's done more good than harm for this team. He's done way more good than harm. And after suffering through, and I don't need to go down the entire list, we know how the Raiders over the years with the quarterback position have just papered over the cracks. These old, washed-up guys would come in from Culpeppers to Aaron Brooks to Reggie saying, you know, and someone's like, oh, the Raiders going to get Matt Flynn from Seattle. I go, no, Reggie's not that dumb. And he trades a pick. And he starts one game. What about Schaub? Trades a pick, doesn't start any games. And when he does come in, it's a fake field goal, and he throws a pick six. So, yeah, there have been a lot of clowns. So it's nice that the Raiders actually have a guy. Now, did he mess up in the fourth quarter? Yeah, you know who else messes up? Everybody. Okay, so we don't want to hear about how young he is, and we don't want to hear about growing pains and all that. All we want is victories, and I get it. But, you know, this Carr is a stand-up guy. He'll tell you, I messed up, and he'll move on. And you can't argue with what he's doing so far. But I don't know. I'm not feeling good about this game. What do you think, Rick Tittle? We got another hour together. Come on back on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.